American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more, right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
The Anton Savage Show
with Kiries.ie
on News Talk.
With me is Danny O'Reilly, although I think in this jurisdiction he is only ever referred to as Danny from the Cronus. Danny from the Cronus, how are you?
I'm good, Anton. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm loving the new song, particularly the a cappella break. There are not enough a cappella breaks in songs these days.
Thanks very much. Yeah, it's getting a great reaction. It's funny. Even as you say, 8 albums in, you still have that thing on release week where you're just like, yeah, we like this song, but like, are people going to be like, what the hell is this? Or are people going to be like, this is great? And as I say, the reaction's been really good. So yeah, it's great to be releasing new music and about to get busy again. So all is good in the world.
Well, this is the thing that I was wondering about during the fallow period, which we shall not mention. I was trying to figure, is that a period where you write songs furiously and you build up a catalogue? Or is there none of the kind of things like emotional distress and loss and longing and all that? Does that freeze during a period like that so it's harder to write songs because you don't have the material?
Yeah, I think I went through different phases of both where initially it was like, I've nothing to write about. I can't, everything else seems futile type thing. And there's nothing, everything has stopped and there's nothing to write about. And then I get a phase of, well, you know what? Everyone is still going through just random little things in their lives. And I might as well just write about what I'm going through. And I'm sure people are going through similar stuff. So, and so it comes and goes in waves for me. But no, we didn't build up a huge like back catalogue of music that we've been waiting to write or whatever. This album was written last year in between a busy period of touring and stuff like that. And we recorded in January. But yeah, it is for me. I find as I get older, definitely I sort of need to put myself in, just be a little bit disciplined and put myself in a space where I can be creative. And it's not necessarily a guarantee that I'll write good or anything. But I find I do need to be disciplined. Whereas when I was younger, I'd be like, I've got a day off next week. I'll write a couple of songs that day. Like, and I just, you know, I sort of had this sort of, I don't know, confidence or definite naivety, I suppose. But I do look back at my younger self with a bit of envy because now it seems to take a little bit more of, okay, getting prepped and getting the studio up. And what am I going to do? And what am I going to write about? And it takes like 2 or 3 days of absolute rubbish before anything.
It's the human condition, Danny. Everything gets harder as you get older.
There is. It is. It's true. It's funny. I definitely noticed it with songwriting anyway. But in a way, though, it's more fulfilling. And actually, in fairness, since the pandemic, since we come back, I've been surprisingly productive. And as I say, last year we had a really busy year, a lot of touring, and I still managed to, with the help of all the people that I co-write the band and a couple of friends and producers that I write with, we got the album together, and we around September last year we were like, yeah, this is sounding great, we're good to go, like, and I kept writing, but we recorded in January and it's going to come out this September, and I'm actually down in Dingle again this weekend. Fáil na Béalteanna is on, it's beautiful down here, and I've already started to do little bits that might be our 9th album, who knows, you know, and I always find if you get a little bit of a start on it, it's sort of, yeah, too small, lad in a Hibbert vibe, you know.
Well, on that topic, do you ever have those moments where, like David Bowie's ill-fated journey into drum and bass, or when U2 did that Passengers album where Bono said that Larry hated it because they wouldn't let him drum? Do you ever look and go, okay, let's go completely tangential to what we've been doing before and reinvent ourselves, it's jazz flute time?
We joke about it sometimes, not particularly like genre wise, but like there was a song on the last album that I swear to God, Anton, like I wrote this song and I was like, this is it, this is the one, this is going to be the big single, it's a bit different for us. And I played it for like the lads obviously, and there was just silence in the WhatsApp group. I played it for loads of people hoping that someone else would see what I saw in it, like, and everyone's like, no, that's awful, that's terrible, like, you know. So thankfully I've got good people around me, and funnily enough, that's sort of what Speak Up is about. It's like turn to someone and that you trust to give it to you straight and go, you know what, you're off the mark there, you know, and having people in your life that you can really ask a proper question to, that that means a lot, and they'll be able to tell you, no, you're wrong, that's not the right decision.
I am amazed. I would have thought by the time you're 8 albums deep, you would just, from sheer force of habit and practice, know this will work, this won't.
Yeah, sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. Like, it's funny. And like, yeah, I would have thought so too, to be honest with you. But for me anyway, you still, and that's why I think it's so important. And that's why I don't envy solo artists and why I'm never really tempted to go solo, because I just think I could get it wrong. And you need to have the good team around you of everyone who are like, no, that just needs to be a little bit this way. Or, and the other side of it can happen as well, where I write a song that I think, this is not much use, like, and I send it to, like, that happened with Heroes or Ghosts, like, one of the Corona's biggest ever songs. Like, I sent it to the lads in it, or I played it for them in a batch of 3 or 4 songs, like, and they were all like, oh, yeah, that one. And I didn't really know, like, I thought it had a nice vibe, like, but, and, you know, 15 years later, like, we're still playing it at the end of every single Corona show, and everyone is singing along, like, and I definitely didn't foresee that, like, you know.
Can we talk a little bit about the fans, Danny? Because I don't mean to embarrass you, but here goes. I have seen you perform in small, intimate settings. And I remember watching you at one point, and you were playing to a tight crowd. I was standing slightly to, I think, your left or your right. And I gave him the opportunity to both watch you and watch the crowd. And the front row was, you know that expression, you know the expression that the cat in Shrek makes when he's trying to be lovable and his eyes dilate out and he just gazes. There was a lot of that going on.
Really?
How do you stay sort of grounded when you're used to people just gazing at you like you're amazing?
I think I think that's funny, but I don't know. I suppose you have to just separate yourself a bit from that. And then likewise, It makes it easier. Like, if you put too much value on things like that, if someone goes, oh, they're crap, or I hate the Coronas, or whatever, that can get to you as well. So I try and not put
But how do you not put too much faith in it? I mean, I have never been gazed at with adoration, and to see it en masse must be just phenomenal.
Yeah, but you've probably never had people go, the Coronas are a terrible band, or your writing is crap as well. So you have to, that's what I'm saying, you sort of have to take it with a pinch of salt, the good and the bad, I suppose. But no, that's a funny one. I mean, we have a core group of Corona's fans that seriously do follow us a lot, like, to all over Ireland, not only all over Ireland, all over the world, really. And it's amazing to have that. And they just love us. They love the music, and they love the crack.
And would you spot them from the stage? You'd walk out and go, oh, yeah, There's Dave, there's Helen.
100%. And like, it's getting to the stage now where there's a couple of like hardcore fans, like, they know the set, like, in a certain song, I'll go down to the crowd and they're ready for me with their phones out. And I might even, you know, and there's a bit in the set where I'd stand up on the barrier and like the front row will be ready to sort of pick me up and give me support, like, you know, and so they're in on the show now, and they know.
You see, that's what I mean. It's not normal for a person to know this is the bit where people will hold me aloft on their shoulders in awe. That has to do something to a man, Danny.
Yeah, well, it definitely does. I mean, we're still addicted to it. We love it, like, performing live in front of people. And again, you know, after the couple of years hiatus that we won't speak of, that had a terrible likeness to our band name, we appreciate it even more now. And getting to play live and touring, like, you know, I mean, just going on the road and playing in America and you know, in different countries outside Ireland, we play to different sized crowds. You know, we do great numbers in Australia and in the big cities in America. But there's some cities, maybe in Europe or whatever, where we play to such smaller rooms and we're lugging gear like we're starting out, and we're setting up the stage and playing to 100 people or whatever. But we love it. We love every aspect of it. We love being together on the road. We love touring to whoever will listen to us. So, yes, it's addictive, and I think we would miss it if it stopped. So we're still trying to enjoy it.
When you talk about the different types of gigs and the different scale of gigs, if I remember rightly, you opened for McCartney in the RDS,
yes,
didn't you?
Yes. Yes, and that was amazing. We got to meet him and everything. And
what I'm curious about. What was that like? Is it sort of, get out of my way, you're the hired help, I'm Paul McCartney? Or is he generous? How does it work?
It could have been like that, but he, honest to God, he made an effort. Like he obviously knows that the bands that are supporting him are going to be huge fans of Once. Now, it wasn't a long interaction, but he did give us his time. We got to chat to him. He was asking who our bass player was, and turned to Noxie and was like, yeah, don't let the band break up or whatever. And he had all his little gags that he probably says to all the bands, you know, that support him. But we had a picture with him and we got to meet him. But the amazing thing about supporting him was, to me, it wasn't even meeting him. Meeting him was great and have the picture and all that. But actually just to see his support, his sound check and stuff, and he would turn around to the band and just shout out a song that wasn't even on the set list, just turn around and go, Penny Lane. And they just do it, like, and it just sounded so perfect. Like, and we were just jaws on the floor watching every second of it. And it really was one of those pinch me moments. Like, we got to support Brucey last summer. And, like, I like Bruce Springsteen.
No. Hang on.
No,
like, sorry. No. Hang on a minute, Danny. Did you just call him Brucey?
Yeah, well, we didn't even get to meet him. I'm just saying it as if he's my mate. And I have him in my phone as Brucey or whatever. But we that gig meant a lot to other people. Like, they were texting me, going, "Oh my God, Bruce Springsteen, blah blah blah." And don't get me wrong, it was amazing, and we got to see his set, and it was incredible as well. We didn't get to meet him, but for me, meeting Macca was just, see, I'm just using all the nicknames.
I know, I like it.
But meeting Paul McCartney was just like, I mean, I sat down and watched every second of that Get Back documentary at least twice. And like, I like phone off, like watching every second of those 9 hours of them in studio, like, and blew my mind. But yeah, so it is funny like that. And we've been lucky enough over the years to support some really cool people. Like, I remember we supported Justin Timberlake in Phoenix Park, and he was really nice as well. We had a good chat with him after, and he was so sound, like, and again gave us the time, and he had no idea anything about us or anything, but he was just a nice guy, like, and it was really nice to chat to him. So things like that are pretty cool.
You have a load of interesting gigs coming up. You're 24th of May, you're in the Marquee. 14th of June, you're in Ryan Park in Wexford. Then the day after, you're going to be in Fairview Park in Dublin. Then King John's Castle in Limerick. And then the Summer Sessions in Galway on August 24th. Have you played Fairview Park before? Because I'd say if you get the weather, that could be great crack.
Yeah, we actually did it last summer, and it was one of our favourite ever gigs. It's just a really amazing. It's actually a marquee, so it's a big tent, like, you know, it's 8,000 cap, and we sold out last summer. It was amazing, and that was one of the reasons we wanted to go back. We were just like, that venue was just so perfect for us, and it was a really sunny day, so it was a lovely vibe around, and people are walking in from town, and then it's in a tent just in case, because you can never guarantee the weather if it was bad. But it is an amazing venue, and as I say, we're buzzed for all these gigs. Like, I'm just at the stage now of talking about them and doing the interviews and getting really excited for them. So yeah, it's going to be a fun summer, and as I say, we're releasing new music and all that as well, so it's busy. But we're getting to go to America as well again. We're touring over there in June as well. So
whereabouts in the States will you be? Where are you playing in the States?
Well, we just in March, at the end of March, we did the East Coast. We did 6 or 7 shows in the East Coast, and now we're going to go back and do the West Coast. So we're starting off in Vancouver, actually, in Canada, obviously, and then we're doing San Francisco, San Diego, Seattle, and a couple other shows. So that'll be fun as well in the summer to be over there. So, and like, by all accounts, Vancouver in particular, there's so many Irish over there. Like, we've sold more tickets in Vancouver than we did in Limerick. Like, it's crazy. Like, there's just, and we're finding that now, it's funny now, like, traveling and like in Sydney, for example, last November, we played a massive venue, like, cause, and it's not all Irish, but there's a lot of Irish there. Like, and it's just interesting to see people, and the further they get away from home, they want a bit of home, and they have the Irish flags out in force, and they're missing home and stuff like that. So it's interesting to see that happening. But looking forward to tour in the States.
It's basically a civic duty you're providing, going to San Francisco and San Diego and Vancouver. You're doing it for the people.
Yeah, for all the homesick students working over there. But we love it. We're glad to do our bit, Anton, you know.
Danny, always a pleasure to talk to you. The new album is going to be out in autumn. The new single is Speak Up. I hope the weather holds for you for the rest of the weekend in Dingle. Thanks again, Danny.
Thank you so much, Anton. Appreciate it.
The Anton Savage Show
with Kiri's.ie.
on News Talk.